Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dear Hallmark. I am your host, Dara, and I want to say cheers to you wherever you are, whatever you happen to be doing as you're listening to this. Thank you for allowing me into your space, whether you're cooking, cleaning, preparing your taxes, trying to get that last minute rush in. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you. Well, you guys, spring is springing. It's very much near. And with spring comes Hallmark's new Spring Into Love lineup. And I am so pleased and thrilled to present to you my conversation with an actor who has one of his movies within that Spring Into Love lineup. And that is Mr. Benjamin Hogsworth. It goes on record where I've talked about the wealth of talent that this man possesses. And I'm so grateful for his time and for what he shared. We had a really thoughtful, in-depth conversation, and we talked about some of his movies, and including the one that he has coming out Easter weekend, where he stars opposite Amy Teagarden, and it's called An Easter Bloom. So you guys, I hope you guys enjoy this interview, this conversation. And we're going to take a micro break, but the next voices you will hear will be mine, along with Benjamin Hogsworth. So you guys stay tuned. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm doing well.
That's good. So I want to start off with an icebreaker question. This is a fun question. No pressure. So we like to eat here at the Home of Dear Hallmark, right? So I want to know, what's a good meal that you've had recently that just made you want to either just go to sleep, slap somebody? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, what was like that good meal that you were just like, woof?
I hear you. I am also a very, very big fan of food, which I can enjoy a little bit more of when I'm not filming. Currently, I'm in the middle of filming Virgin River, in which mm-hmm. case my food consumption resembles that of a rabbit, what I would normally eat. So, but I did have before I started my Virgin River diet was a eggplant parmesan that, oh, it was so good. And I don't know, like, I'm not usually a big eggplant fan.
Yeah.
But I think it was like deep fried and then breaded and then, it was all the things that it should be. And I didn't slap anyone, but I did eat like way too many. Like, you know how you have that one helping?
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, I'll have another. That was delicious. And then you finish the second one, you're like, I'm not hungry anymore, but that was so good. I'm going to have one more helping because I want to get uncomfortable with this.
Like, that was for your soul. That's what that portion was. Yeah.
It was for my soul, right? Like, yeah. I want to get really uncomfortable with how much I've eaten. And that's the kind of eating I do when I'm not filming. So,
yeah. I hear that. We're down for that. My best friend, she took me to this Lebanese restaurant that just blew my mind. I had the best hummus of my life. I had this thing called lebna. It's like a yogurt thing. Amazing. Okay. Fresh pita, scallops that will make you scream. I had this, and they had this French dessert, though. It was like gâte, or I'm horrible at French accent, but like it was like a chocolate cake, something or other. Just thinking about it now, my mouth is watering.
I love a good French dessert. They know how to do sugar, right? They know how to do it, like with their croissants and the like, the mousses and all the things.
All of them.
Yeah.
One of my favorite words is patisserie. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I'm right there with you.
So, Benjamin, let's talk about how you got into acting. Because you have your bio on IMDb, and it goes in, you know, through length about your background in terms of where you studied and the different projects you've been on. But what can you tell us kind of what that decision process was like, or how you even got into acting to want to study it in the first place?
I think for me, it was like a multi chain of events. I think it probably started when I was younger. I watched my sister, my older sister was in plays and stuff. And this is when I was really young. Like I was in the background holding the card like it just the like stakeholder,
Oh,
5-year-old who's like not really paying attention, but there because my parents needed aftercare and my
yeah.
sister was like the star of the show, and she actually would direct me in plays that we'd put on for my parents at home,
Oh.
and I would just do what she said. I was like, all right, I'll stand here and be like the king of the cushion land, like
Yeah.
sure. And then I started getting more and more like into it and really enjoying it. And then I was like, I don't want to be the guy with the spear anymore. I want to be up front doing the thing. And my dad kind of did it a little bit as well, not professionally, but he would be in plays and such, and I'd see him, and of course, like it was like a magic trick for me. I was like, wow, look at everyone in this audience is totally captivated by my dad, and he's playing someone like completely, different from what I know. And he had this, I remember the very, very specifically this death scene, and he died on stage, and like looking around, and everyone's like crying, and I'm feeling all this stuff, and I'm like, this is a superpower. What this is a superpower. And I fell in love with that. I wanted, that was like, kids wanted to be like Superman, and which I did. I still do, by the way. That for me, that's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to possess that ability to truly affect someone through storytelling. And that developed more and more. Yeah, high school, I got into doing it more and more. And then I had this really wonderful experience. I did a background work on a little, well, it wasn't little. It was ABC Movie of the Week back. It was Matthew Broderick, Kristen Chenoweth, Victor Garber, Molly Shannon. It was Music Man, and it was set in the, I guess it's in the 30s or 40s or 50s, the Music Man time. But it was all period pieces, so we all had, period pieces on, and I really got an opportunity to like meet a lot of, Victor Garber was in it. I got to meet a lot of these really great actors, and because I was just a small town kid from middle of nowhere, they kind of were like, and I had this interest in becoming an actor. I got a lot of really great advice about like, you should study it. You should, take it seriously. Don't just go to Hollywood and, be another pretty face. And so I took that to heart, and I went to an acting school in Montreal. It's a conservatory. It was 3 years, 6 days a week, 12-hour days. It was like acting boot camp, and to become like the Navy SEAL of actors. And for me, like, God, it was hard being like, that was from 18 to 21. And it was hard. I'd see like other actors go to LA and they'd start working, and meanwhile I'm rolling around on the floor pretending I'm fire, like, you know what I mean, with all these crazy drama school things, right? And I'm like, what am I doing here? But it was so integral to who I am today as a performer, because I learned the craft of telling stories, and that informs everything I do in every scene, every project I take on, every character I build. It comes from that toolbox of skills that I learned in school, and that passion that I developed when I was younger. So that's the very long version of
Oh
that
no,
answer.
we call that the crock pot version. We like crock pots here, so that's all right. That is quite all right. But you said one of my favorite
Love it.
words, which is storytelling. I'm a writer by trade and an editor, so when
Yeah, cool.
like getting into this podcasting thing and even with Hallmark Channel, I'm just learning about this other avenue of storytelling through film and being able to talk with people in different aspects of the film industry, but how they all contribute to this grand story. It's something so cool to see how many people are passionate about
this thing called storytelling, but how it's manifested in different areas, whether it's costuming, whether it's actually writing or directing or lighting or acting. And it's just so cool to hear how everything really goes back to that, the telling of the story. I think that that's really, really cool.
And the element of like what you said, like, I mean, it's so many people involved. Like, it kind of is like the creation starts with the writer, and then it gets passed on to producers and directors take it over, and they have their own vision of it, and sometimes they're still working with the writer, and then you've got a crew depending on the size of your production, like anywhere from 20 people to 250, on some of the bigger films I've been on. And every single one of them is integral and showed up that day, not just to make a, living, but to tell a story. And they're a part of it, an essential part of it. Even the person that's just moving the lights around can't see us, there's no story to be told. So,
Absolutely.
yeah, that's it's a really, really, really cool thing, collaborative thing.
Yes. And then to think about, I had an interview with a set photographer, and he said something so profound about how many hundreds of people, like you said, depending on the scale of the production, it takes to get something that starts from up here, to like realize something that starts in this abstract realm known as your imagination, and then it gets put on this like 2D thing, which is a paper, and then it gets turned into this 3D element with like at least behind the camera, like with the crew and the actors. But then, yet, us as the audience, we get a chance to even experience it through like all the effects of all of those pieces like coming together, us being able to experience it as one cohesive, coherent thing. I think there's something like I'm learning the more people that I talk to, just how beautiful that is, the collaboration of it all and the teamwork of it all and how everybody is coming together for this one goal that all started in someone's imagination, which is another one of my favorite words up there with storytelling and patisserie. But yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. I love it. I love it.
So, how did your acting journey go into Hallmark land? Like, how did you start doing Hallmark movies?
Well, I guess it's like a long and winding road as well. But it happened. I kind of, graduated school. Lived in Toronto for a couple years and did like the Canadian essential, Degrassi, and I did a episode of Heartland in its first season, and then kind of graduated. I got an agent and a manager in LA, and I got this really, really big opportunity and break for myself. Was I was lead in the Joneses, which was Demi Moore, David Duchovny. They played my parents. Amber Heard played my sister. Gary Cole was the neighbor. I know it's about this family that pretended to be a family, and they would, unbeknownst to their neighbors, be like selling these products that really were, this corporate company would put them together as like not actors, but kind of like actors. So they weren't related. They didn't really know each other before moving to this neighborhood. But it's one of my favorite films actually still that I've done. Even though now I guess it's almost 15 years since that, but so I did that. I got a series called The Beautiful Life. I met Ashton Kutcher on the set of The Joneses, and he had this new series called The Beautiful Life, and it was about his journey as a model, becoming a model, being a kid from the small town, and moving to the, like, he was basically in New York on a trip with his family, and this modeling agent saw him and was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm here with my family on vacation." And the modeling agent was like, "Come, I'm gonna make you a model, like a famous model." And so that was kind of that move. Then there was a CW series, so I did that, and unfortunately, it wasn't a big success. We did 87 episodes of it, and only two of them aired, and then the CW canceled it. So
Oh,
I went
wow.
from like whoop to like, and you know, it took me. I was living in LA at the time, and I had done like a few more things in LA, but I really wasn't. I wasn't. I was kind of like taking that this part into a lot of the rooms that I was going into, and so I wasn't really having the kind of success that I wanted to have. And then there came an offer for a movie called Lucky in Love with Jessica Zor, and it's a kind of like an April Fool's movie, I guess, which is interesting. And it was really, really cool. It was my kind of like get to be a lead and get to be have a project that I could kind of sink my teeth in it too. That wasn't like high pressure. Wasn't like it wasn't something that had like necessarily like a lot of flash to it. It was just a cute little story, and I didn't know much about the Hallmark Channel about Hallmark Channel when I accepted it. I just kind of liked the story, and so I kind of stumbled into the world a little bit, and that would have been 2012, 12 years ago, which is crazy. And then since then, I've done like, you know, I've done a couple of series, but in between those series and before those series, I think I've done like maybe 9 or 10 movies for Hallmark now. It's getting up there.
It is. Here
So very
you
familiar with it now.
go.
And I try not to do too many of them so that people don't get sick of me. No, I make a point of trying to pick ones I really like doing and that resonate with me and kind of spark my like my need to tell the story. You know, I think that's really important.
I appreciate that though, because the ones that you've done, I think do resonate. I said, we're going to talk about this movie later, but I said this when I talked about Romance and Style or Sansa Summit, where it's like every movie that you've been in has been good because I feel like you, there's a purpose for you being there. Like I can feel that in your performance. As like when I watch the movie, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. Ben is a part of the bar crawl. Or, oh, this makes sense. Like he's the competitive olive tree farmer, or the you know, like it makes sense. Like that's another one of my favorites. That's Love Under the Olive Tree. That's a slept on y'all. If you haven't watched it yet, you guys, check out Hallmark Movies now. Love Under the Olive Tree. It's a sleeper hit. But let's talk about your most recent one, Sansa Summit. This masterpiece of a Christmas movie aired last Christmas season on Hallmark Channel, and you starred opposite Hunter King. But I would say that one to me felt more like an ensemble cast instead of like
Yeah,
you
it
and
was.
Hunter being the leads. Even though we knew like you guys were Endgame and you guys were the leads, it still felt like because of how strong the supporting characters were. With Ava, and then I forget the other young lady's name, but even the guy, the gentleman who played your brother, like, can you talk to us a little bit about your experience filming that and what that process was like for you?
So when I read the script for it, you know, and as a, you know, you kind of, there's a lot of Christmas movies that kind of come around, and you kind of, you need to choose one. It's not like you can do 10 of them. This script came along, and I was like really intrigued because of just what you mentioned. It was way more of an ensemble piece, and it was so different than anything you've seen on the Hallmark Channel. Like it was really, like, not to spoil anything, guys, but there's only two scenes with me and Hunter. Like that's the whole movie. Not that I'm only in two scenes, but the whole movie. And one of them, I have a Santa Claus beard on, and it's a 5-minute scene. So it's like there was challenging in that, like, how do we create the chemistry that needs to be there to have the stakes? But also was like, let's have, like, this is fun. Like, this is a movie that is fun, and it should feel fun even when you watch it, like, because I've seen it 3 times now. And it's kind of fun every single time. And it's mostly because I'm laughing so hard at my co-stars just killed this.
Yes.
They just absolutely, and Jeff did such a great job directing it. We
Yeah.
improv about 30 to 40% of the movie, like a lot of
That
time.
makes so much
It
sense.
was just like, go guys, go, go, go. And we just riff and riff and riff
Yes.
and you know, we weren't married to a lot of the dialogue. The premise is what we kind of kept, and obviously the scene structure and like where we needed to go, and you know, but lots of dialogue was just us riffing at the end of a scene or in the middle of the scene, and Jeff just letting us go, just be, you know, even encouraging it. As long as we were having fun, that was the key, and we had so much fun doing it. Although I must admit, it was freezing. It was freezing. And normally, a lot of the Christmas movies are filmed in the summertime, where it's like actually pretty pleasant outside, and sometimes you're a little hot because you're wearing winter clothes and it's hot outside. This was not that. This
Oh, man.
was springtime in Winnipeg, which means like dead of winter everywhere else. In fact, sometimes so cold that you'd never believe that a place could get this cold. So I was just like, I think one of the first scenes, it was minus like 5 degrees Celsius, Fahrenheit. It was, which is works out. I don't know if anyone's Celsius over there. I think it's like minus 30, 34 or something. It was just like insulting cold. Like it was like, is this happening for the whole shoot? Because I need to pull the parachute on this. Like, this is not gonna work. And luckily it did, it wasn't that cold the entire shoot, but it was like a lot of, we were in that Christmas spirit, and we were, thank God for the Santa Claus suits, because there was layers happening underneath there. There was electric like long johns and like every hot thing you could stick under there.
Yes.
Was under there. So yeah, that was a special part. But really, you know, the ensemble killed it, and the ace was fun, and the premise was fun, and it was so different for it. It's like kind of like a buddy comedy than a
Yes.
romantic one, but there was still romantic storylines through the secondary characters,
For sure.
and some really really wonderful performances. Every single, you know, every actor really killed it on that one. So that
Yes.
was fun to be a part of.
It was so, I wanted to be a part of the girls' friend group. Like, I was just like, oh, I want to be their friends. Like,
Right?
that's,
Yeah.
they were so
Yeah.
good. So good. Okay, we have to talk about one of the best Hallmark Channel films of our generation, and it's called Romance in Style. We have to talk about your character, Derek, the Prince of Publishing, because I don't know who told you couldn't act or what vendetta you had, but you came and you killed it, and we're all better for it. And so, what I want to know, Benjamin, is what was, like, how did you, in terms of the personality of Derek, because he's different than any other Hallmark leading guy that we've seen. He's much more on the, dare I say, cocky side, but he's giving you the suits, he's giving you the bravado. Like, where did you pull that from, and what was your thought process even as you were preparing to play Derek?
So, when I first read the script for that one, I really love the fact that I just had my first, so I have three kids, two boys and a girl, and I just had my baby girl named Juniper. Yeah,
Congratulations.
Juniper Bloom, which we'll get into that later. Yeah, thank you.
Oh,
She's, yeah, I know, right? And so I read this script, and it was so different again than a lot of them that I see that are kind of prototypes of, you know, they're different and they're unique, and everyone kind of brings their own thing. But this is was it just a different one altogether, because it focused on body positivity, and in a world, you know, it takes place in a fashion world, and a little bit of that when I talked about the beautiful life, like I had no, you know, kind of immersed myself into that world and saw just how ugly and crazy. And you know, we shot it in Manhattan, so I spent 6 months there, like being exposed to a lot of these a lot of like, fat, a lot of the fashion world. And so
Yeah.
I saw just how like just disgusting, really, how materialistic this was, especially back then, but still to this day, narrow-minded. And what I liked about Derek was that he didn't see any of that, and that is part of his confidence, is that he didn't look in the mirror and go, "Boy, I look good today." He just dressed because he's him. And that's the confidence. Like, confidence isn't something you put on. I think it's not a disguise. It comes from inside, being assured, because you follow who you are. You don't follow anyone else's rules. Like, that's sexy, and that's confidence, and that's the trick to playing those characters, is you just come really, you get to wear the nice suits, and that doesn't hurt. But right? But really, it does come from just at your core, not really caring what society can, the confines of what society has. And so he falls in love with this woman who's not your traditional, like, almost anorexic model that you see, that fashion world pushes and pushes onto people. And I wanted to create a movie that people could feel like resembled themselves, in a sense that they didn't feel like they. I think a lot of people, and myself included, even being a male actor, you feel a certain, like I said, I eat like a rabbit. Well, I feel like sometimes I have to achieve a certain look to be accepted or be seen as sexy or whatever it is. And that, after doing that movie, it really, it was a movie that I wanted to make sure that people out there who watched it felt heard, felt seen, felt represented, but also that they realize that, like, your worth is not something that you that is defined by how you look, and how
Amen.
you look in the mirror is defined by how you feel, right? So
Amen.
you need that acceptance of self is so important. And that's why he was so attracted to, I believe her name in the movie was Elle.
Ella,
Ella, I think, in the movie, I believe. And that's why he was so attracted to her, is because she didn't have that problem. She carried herself with the same kind of confidence that he did. And not it's not that put on confidence. Again, it's that self-assured, "I am who I am." And that's the, like, that's, I think, what drew him to her, is that she projected that same confidence. And it was really, really, really rewarding and nice to be a part of that movie. I think I sat down with everyone early on at the read-through, and I kind of was like, "Hey guys, this is an opportunity to really do some good in the world." And there, even if there's one person out there who watches the movie and feels better about themselves, feels more confident about themselves, feels heard, feels seen, then we've done our job. And that's that same superpower that I was talking about earlier. Like, that's it. That's like, if I can, if we can do that, then we've done our jobs, and we all just feel proud at the end of the day. Because I like to do movies that affect people positively. And I think that's maybe why I've done so many Hallmark movies, is because that is inevitably, like, one of their core messaging. And that resonates with me. So yeah, I mean, I love that movie. I really had a great time shooting it.
That movie is a gem, and you said it all, so I'm not even gonna say anything after that. But let's get into the main reason why you're here. You have a Spring Into Love movie coming out soon. It's called An Easter in Bloom. Can you tell us a little bit about the movie, who you play, and what we can expect from it?
Funny enough, I also play a character named Derek in that. So just Yeah, it's funny. I've played like multiple names a number of times in my career, and I've done 60 different things now, so it's inevitable that sometimes you get across, but I think that's my fourth time where I've actually played a character that had the same name before.
Wow.
Liam was another. You said like I think I think I saw something you did. A review on Santa Summit, and you said that I looked like a Liam, and I was like, I think someone else there agrees with you. But yes, I play a guy named Derek, and he's not just a guy, he's a pastor, which I thought it was very interesting and challenging, and he's new to this town, and so that comes with its own kind of. He's struggling with a bit of imposter syndrome. He didn't, he wasn't a pastor for very long, and he kind of came from this background of rock climbing and being an outdoor enthusiast and adventurist. And he was into a lot of extreme sports like skydiving and all these crazy, borderline adrenaline risky kind of things, and so he felt that he couldn't be open about that with his congregation and with this new town because he didn't have that that confidence, that inner kind of thing that we're talking about. He was more kind of having to try and dress the part, of this pastor, which I could also relate to. So he throughout the movie he kind of finds himself drawn to this woman who she is kind of mourning the loss of her father, and there's a lot of metaphors about flowers. She is a she works on a flower farm, and since her father passed, this farm hasn't been the same, and she's kind of coming from a family of faith where they were very they believed, they practiced, they were faith-based, and that all went away when he died, because that same question, I think the core question of the movie is like, why do bad things happen to good people, and why do bad things happen when you are a person of faith? And that's a very tricky, complicated question. But so they kind of needed each other. She was really urged him, she throughout the movie, she urges him to like connect with his true self and to be vulnerable and open up to everyone, and know that maybe I could be better, Derek could be better at being a pastor if he shared that with his congregation instead of hiding it. And the same with her, like to use the metaphor of a bloom and what happens with a flower. It starts up closed off, and with the right love and care, opens up to show its inner beauty. And that's kind of this wonderful metaphor that kind of throughout this movie you see Amy Teagarden, the actress that plays across from me, she's so great at like opening up, and you see this love kind of bloom between these two characters. And it was really, really fun to do. We had a lot of beautiful flowers around, and I play a character that's from the South, so I had an accent with it, and I had an accent in the movie, which is fun.
Oh,
So, yeah, so it was really, 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 really fun to play. Yeah.
snap. Was with you, your character being a pastor, how did you approach it differently than the other Hallmark Channel movies that you've done in the past? 'Cause that I feel like that's a different profession than the other characters that you've played, in previous movies.
Yeah, it is. I've never played a pastor before. And I think that was what drew me to it, is that like I wanted to color this guy with something that maybe you wouldn't normally see, kind of your typical idea of what a pastor is. I also come from a background where I grew up Catholic, and I I still have a really strong faith and based, I have my own relationship with God I found sometimes, faith comes and goes. Sometimes you're really, really connected to it, and sometimes not so much. And maybe I was going through a time where I wasn't quite as connected to my faith as I had been in the past, and saw this character as a challenge to maybe revisit that. And that's exactly what it was for me. It was this like journey of renewal for myself of like revisiting all these ideas that I learned when I was younger, or I had still lived inside of me, these really, really wonderful values and teachings, and how could I could make them how can I make them resonate with me now,
That's good.
today, in today's world too, and how can I help interpret them so that the bit like answering that big question, which is something I always found was really, really hard to understand, which is why do bad things, why can bad things happen to good people? If there's a God, why doesn't he just make everyone who believes in him and loves him, experience no pain and experience no hardship? Like, and for me, that I was able to answer that question through the shooting of this movie. And yeah, like when you watch it, I hope everyone can, it resonates for everyone, because I think that's what makes it a great Easter movie, is that idea of renewal of faith is built right in there. And maybe, maybe the person watches it doesn't have any religious beliefs, or and maybe not faith-based, but you don't need to be that to watch this movie. It's not about like being Catholic or being Protestant or being, Jewish, or it's about like personal faith, like having faith in yourself, and in my understanding of like what I was seeing while I was shooting it was, and I'll tell you this really, really cool story, is that inside of us, that connection needs to come and go, because if it's consistent, we're never aware of it, right? It's like when you live in your house and you never go on vacation, it doesn't like have the same value as when you're on vacation, you come home, you're like, oh, I'm home. Like it's that journey. Life is a journey. And if it was just consistent all the time, you would have no high and no low. You need the without darkness, there's no light, right? And you need to have that. And so that's kind of how and I'll tell you this story. This ladybug is kind of what the dad used to call Amy's character, which I think her name in the movie is Amanda. So he used to call Amanda Ladybug. And throughout the movie, like it's referenced a couple of times, and it kind of is a main feature of the movie, and I won't spoil it because the end has something to do with the ladybug. But I give this really difficult sermon in the movie, and which was really difficult for me because it was in front of 200 people on the day when we shot it. And it was like a 4-page
Oh my
thing
word.
that I had to memorize. So it was like a lot, and you don't have anyone to bounce it off. It's all you all the time. And it was like just before I started to do this, the first take, there was on the stand, there was this ladybug. No, and I just could not believe that this thing was happening. Like I was like, did someone put this here? And my like, but it, it was a live ladybug that was no one had put there. Like, it was like, a sign, and in a way that like really was kind of like it hit me in a way that I wasn't expecting. And then it was I hope you can watch it, and you'll know the part that I'm talking about, and I hope that it infused my speech with what I was feeling, because it was special for me.
Wow. Well, first, thank you for sharing that. My goodness, I know my journey with faith has been tumultuous myself. Earlier this year, a dear uncle and my pastor, actually, he passed away unexpectedly, and that forced me. I liken it to as if like holding on to God, like I was holding on to the edge of a cliff, because like if I didn't hold on and if I slipped, I would. Who knows what I would fall into. And never before did I. And it's in those times of grief, in those dark times, that I feel like, I think someone put it this way. It's like God sometimes speaks the loudest in the darkest of places, where
I
we
love
can
that.
really see him for who he is in those moments. Because like you said, like if it's all hunky dory, rainbow Skittles, like we won't really appreciate who he is, what we have as our faith without those times. So I can definitely relate to that. And that makes me more excited to watch this movie now. So thank you for sharing that. And what
Yeah,
was
I truly hope that that is what a lot of people take away from it, because as you, I think every single person has experienced something like that, where they go through trauma or they go through a loss of someone they love, and they go, it's almost that initial reaction is anger and frustration and there's a bunch of different, there's a bunch of different feelings that one goes through. But I think the most important one is knowing that that's not, no mountain is, grief's not a mountain you climb alone. You need people. Grief strengthens your connection to the people around you. And that's what that journey is, really. And that's what the movie is. It's this connection that happens between these two that never would have happened if she hadn't lost her father. So, I really hope it resonates with people.
And oddly enough, I think I have a greater appreciation for the spring season because of it. Like understanding that sense of renewal, of kind of an awakening, if you will. Like the flowers are coming, it's getting warmer. It's this feeling of just starting fresh. Like I think that it's so beautiful. And the movie is premiering Easter weekend, which is appropriate.
Yes, it is.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So Benjamin, I want to thank you so much for coming into the home of Dear Hallmark and talking with us about your movies. Before I let you go, I like to give my guests just a moment to say whatever it is you want to say. You can talk about chocolate, whatever you want to talk. It's your moment to have. I want you to be able to have the last words here. So I'll let you take it away.
Okay, well, it's a real nice pleasure. You've got a wonderful, like I said, I saw one of your, I think one of the reviews you said about, you did about Santa Summit, and I'm like, this woman has such a wonderful energy about her.
Thank you.
And then when my publicist said that you were interested in doing an interview, I was like, absolutely. I would love to spend like some time with this woman and bouncing energies, and that's what really life's about for me. It's like spending time with people you love, sharing those moments, and sometimes with a stranger that you've seen on TV or you've seen on a screen, and you get a chance to get a little bit deeper with someone. That's what I love doing what I do so much is because I have that opportunity every day, and it's up to me not to take it for granted, and today I don't. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, everyone, be sure to watch An Easter in Bloom, March 30th at 8 p.m. He's Benjamin, I'm Dara, and this is Dear Hallmark. And I'll talk to you guys in the next episode. Ciao, my friends.
Bye.